Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Our title for the sermon is Guiding the Young, the Role of Parents in Spiritual Formation. Beloved in Christ, today we reflect on upon a vital aspect of our Christian duty, the spiritual upbringing of our children. The account of Jesus in the temple provides a clear and practical example for us. As we consider the actions of Mary and Joseph, let us seek to understand and apply these lessons in our families. Our focus today is not just on the nurturing of faith in our young ones, but also on our role as parents in this sacred task. First, the example of Mary and Joseph. It's three parts, so this is the first one. Help break it up a little bit. In the Gospel of Luke, we see Mary and Joseph fulfilling their religious duties by taking Jesus to Jerusalem for the Passover. This act itself is a direct adherence to God's commandments, a fundamental aspect of their faith. It is here in this context that we find our first lesson in parenting. Mary and Joseph were not extraordinary in their societal status. They were humble and obedient servants of God. Their example is crucial for us. In accordance with Lutheran theology, we recognize the importance of grounding our families in the faith and practices of the church. Taking Jesus to the temple was an act of obedience, but also an act of faith, demonstrating their trust in God's guidance for their families. Which leads us to our responsibility as parents. Just as Mary and Joseph took Jesus to the house of God, we are called to bring our children into the presence of the Lord. This is not a mere ritual, it's an act of faith. In our context, it means regular church attendance, participation in the sacraments, and immersion in the life of the Christian congregation. Our children learn not just from our words, but from our actions. When they see us value and prioritize our faith, they learn to do the same. However, this is not merely about outward actions. Mary and Joseph's example goes deeper. They were attentive to Jesus, listening to him, and engaging with him as he matured in the faith. It's kind of interesting to think about God maturing in the faith, but he does. As parents, our role is not only to bring our children to church, but to engage with them as they too increase in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. This involves conversations about the gospel, prayer at home, and discussing the application of God's word in our daily lives. In the Small Catechism, Luther emphasizes the role of the family in teaching and living the faith. He intended the catechism to be a guide for parents to teach their children the core tenets of the faith. This teaching is not just an intellectual exercise. It is a nurturing of the Christian soul. When we teach our children the catechism, we are planting seeds of faith that by God's grace will grow and mature and produce abundant fruit throughout their lives. Regarding the Small Catechism, Luther encourages its use not only for our children, but also for all of us, regardless of our age. Just as the boy Jesus taught the whole counsel of God in a simple way, through questions and answers, even to the most learned in Jerusalem, so do we study and learn by heart the simple teachings of the faith as we find them in the Small Catechism. In Luther's preface to the larger catechism, he writes this. He says, "I myself am a doctor and a preacher," a doctor of theology, right? Yea, as learned and as experienced as I am in all those things, yet I do as a child who is being taught the catechism. Every morning and whenever I have time, I read and say word for word the Ten Commandments, the Creed, the Lord's Prayer, the Psalms, and such. And I must still read and study daily. And yet I cannot master them as I wish, but must remain a child and a pupil of the catechism. And I am glad, he says, to remain so. My friends, as we reflect on this advice of Luther and the example of it, which we find in our gospel lesson for today, let us also commit ourselves to being diligent students of God's Word. Parents, this we must do even before we set foot towards teaching our children and guiding them in the faith. Yes, let us lead our children first and foremost by laying before them our good example of Christian devotion and faithfulness to the Lord. This indeed is our blessed God-given duty and privilege as Christian parents. Now, on to point number two, our children in God's house. The second lesson from the account of Jesus in the temple is the significance of our children's presence in the house of the Lord. Jesus, at 12, was found in the temple sitting among teachers, listening to them and asking questions. This scene is a powerful reminder of the role of the church in the spiritual formation of our youth. In our Lutheran tradition, we understand the church is not just a building. It's a kind of popular song, too, right? It's a children's song. Okay. It's not just a building, but it's the gathering of God's people around His Word and sacrament. Bringing our children to church is not a mere formality. It is introducing them to the life-giving Word of God and the sacramental grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. In the divine service, which is God's service to us, our children hear the law and the gospel. They learn the story of God's salvation, and they witness the faith of the community. Thus, it is important not only for parents as they witness the faith, but for each of us, each member of this body, to be a diligent student of God's Word, attending to Christ with all our soul and heart and mind and strength. This we do not only for ourselves, but for our children, even if they don't belong to us. Continual exposure to Christ's Word and sacrament is crucial for everyone's spiritual growth, especially our children. The Holy Spirit works only through these means to create and strengthen faith. This we must learn well. For our children do not grow in faith when they personally desire to come to church, but also when they don't want to come with us. Maybe I should say that one more time. For our children do not grow in the faith only when they personally desire to come to church, but also when they don't want to come with us. It is in these moments of youthful rebellion, for that is what it is, and fickle emotions, for that is what they are, that we set before them a steadfast, calm, and deliberate way of life. Son, whether you like it or not, you are coming with me. But I pray that you would learn to desire it as God would have you. I pray that you would learn to desire God's Word and church even when your flesh tells you otherwise. Because that's what's going on. What's God's Spirit saying? Come. As we say in Luther's Small Catechism, He calls, He gathers, He enlightens. That's what God's Spirit does. The flesh says, I'm only going to go to church when I feel like it. Learn that lesson well. My friends, it is only through the Word and sacraments that God graciously imparts such holy desires. We can't drum it up on our own. Therefore, our role as parents includes ensuring that our children regularly receive these gifts and dealing with all the tantrums that come with it. Moreover, in coming to church, our youth learn something about themselves which no book can ever really truly teach them. And that is this, that they are vital members of a real and tangible community of faith, a spiritual family that supports and nurtures them and one another. Just by being here, they inspire the old and the young alike. I don't know how many older folks here in our congregation, when they see the youth here with us, are lifted up just by their mere presence. Can I get an amen? Very Baptist-y of me, yes. But it's true, right? Not just my saying it, you say it. Oh, I totally lost my spot. Hang on. I print on large paper today. I'm trying it out. Okay, in the temple, Jesus was also not alone, just as our youth are not alone. He was surrounded by teachers and learners alike. Similarly, in the church, our children are surrounded by fellow believers of all ages. They learn not just from pastors and teachers, but also from the example and fellowship of the whole congregation. I particularly am inspired by those who have a really tough time getting up in the morning and even walking, and yet we find them here in our pews. Right? I'm inspired by that. If they can do it, by God, help me so I can too. However, it is important to note that our children's involvement at church is not solely a passive engagement. We're not just pure recipients. Just as Jesus actively listened and asked questions, our children should be encouraged to actively engage with what they learn and who they learn it from. We should foster together as a whole congregation an environment where our children and anyone can ask questions, express their doubts, and seek deeper understanding. This engagement is vital for their faith to become their own and not just something they inherit from their parents. Thus, bringing our children to church and involving them in the life of the congregation is an essential part of our children's spiritual formation. It is here that they encounter Christ, here in His divine service, where they learn His teachings and grow in their own faith and understanding. Our third and final point, parental responsibility and grace. The third and final point we derive from the narrative of Jesus in the temple concerns the balance of parental responsibility and the grace that underpins it. Mary and Joseph, upon realizing Jesus is not with them, can you imagine that? If you ever lost your child, how terrifying that is? I've lost the Son of God, who is the Redeemer of the world. How much more terrifying, right? Whew. Okay. After they learn this, they return to Jerusalem to search for Him. Their reaction illustrates a deep concern and responsibility which all parents feel for their children. Yet there is a profound lesson of grace here. As Lutheran Christians, we recognize that our ability to guide our children in the faith is not solely dependent on our efforts or our wisdom. It is undergirded by God's grace. Our parenting is not just about enforcing rules, holy desires, godly disciplines. It is about being channels of God's love and grace for our children. This grace-filled approach to parenting means recognizing our own limitations and trusting in God's providence. Mary and Joseph were perplexed by Jesus' actions, but this did not diminish their love or their commitment to him. Similarly, we might not always understand our children's actions or choices, but we are called to love them and love them unconditionally and guide them with patience and grace. Furthermore, this grace extends to how we view our role as parents. We are not just caretakers or educators. We are stewards of God's gifts, and actually his most precious and treasured possession. Our children are ultimately God's children, entrusted to our care. This perspective helps us to rely not on our own strength, but on God's guidance and wisdom as we raise them. In practical terms, this means prayerfully approaching our parental responsibilities, seeking wisdom in God's word, and being open to the guidance of his Spirit. It also means being humble, admitting our mistakes, and seeking forgiveness when necessary, both from God and from our children. Right? If you mess up, if you get overly heated, if you spank when you should have not, right? A little too much discipline in the moment, in the heat of the moment, you go to them, right, and say, "Son, I am sorry. You were wrong in what you did, and it was right for me to discipline you, but I went too far. Will you forgive me?" Right? And they say, "Huh." And they say, "I forgive you," right? After they learned it a few times. But it's like one of the most freeing words for a parent to hear forgiveness, not just from God, but from the children who you messed up with, right? "I forgive you. And then I love you. I love you," right? That's the pattern. All right. Additionally, grace-filled parenting also involves teaching our children about God's grace. They should know that they are loved and saved not only by God, but by you, not because of their works, not just because they're your children, not because they've earned your love. None of that is true. They are loved and saved because of Christ's work on the cross. That is unconditional love. This understanding of God's grace in Christ Jesus crucified for us, this understanding is crucial for them to develop a healthy and robust faith, knowing how they stand before God the Father, purely by his grace and mercy. And it is really important for them in developing godly relationships, both with you as parents, with their siblings, and with friends, that they can have godly friends based on God's love. In conclusion, as we reflect on Mary and Joseph in their search for Jesus and their interaction with him in the temple, let us embrace our parental responsibilities with a heart full of God's grace. Let us guide, teach, and love our children, always pointing them to the grace of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. In summary, short paragraph. In summary, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, as we treasure these lessons from Holy Scripture in our hearts, just as Mary did with hers, let us renew our commitment to our God-given role as students of Christ and as parents and guardians of his little ones. May we follow the example of Mary and Joseph in leading our children to the house of the Lord, engaging with them in faith and nurturing them with grace and love. In doing so, we fulfill our calling not only in obedience to the fourth commandment, honor thy father and thy mother, but also in living out the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.